The Big Small Business Show, proudly sponsored by MTN Business.
The Big Small Business Show is proudly brought to you by SAICA. Choose a difference maker, choose a chartered accountant.
Welcome to the Big Small Business Show, the show for all our fantastic entrepreneurs out there who are just trying to get through each week of good news. Well, not so much good news. Each week of bad news, trying to get through each week of load shedding and just trying to make our way every single week till month end and just pray we can pay our rent, our salaries, et cetera, et cetera. Now, if you think I'm sounding like a doom and gloom merchant, it is because today I've changed my title from entrepreneur in residence to the political correspondent in residence, the crime reporter in residence. We're going to talk about something that I think is very, very important for us to talk about and to understand as entrepreneurs. It might seem something in the distance, but it's going to come and impact us now. And that is the concept of grey listing. Grey listing. You heard it here. So to talk to us about grey listing is our resident doom and gloom merchant, Juanita Steenekamp. She's project director governance at SAICA. She often comes on our show to talk about all the negative stuff. Now and again, she brings in some good news. But unfortunately today, it's not such good news, right?
No, Alan. Bad, yeah. Bad.
Bad, bad. And, you know, I've seen you when you are looking like the world's on your shoulders. But today, you really do. Let me read to you some things here. Nolisile Kanyile, director of the Financial Intelligence Center, says, in spite of speculation to the contrary, South Africa is going to be grey-listed because it hasn't met the requirements of the Financial Action Task Force for combating money laundering and terrorism financing. She goes on to say, I don't see us escaping grey-listing at all. Once you are grey-listed, the repercussions are dire. So let's, before we get into what is grey-listing, who is this Financial Action Task Force, the FATF? Who are they?
FATF, yes.
FATF.
FATF is the acronym. So they're a global money laundering and terrorism financing watchdog. So they set standards, and South Africa is actually one of 37 member jurisdictions, or member, yeah, we're a member. We're not even a jurisdiction. We're an actual member. So we comply with them voluntarily.
Okay, so why don't we just
ditch them and go?
Ditch them and not get grey listed.
Yeah. So if we were to leave them, it would actually be worse, because then there's nobody that will actually be monitoring us. So FATF evaluated South Africa in 2019, and with COVID, they didn't finalize the report until last year, November. So they evaluate us on 40 what they call technical competencies, our laws and how we use that. There we failed dismally. We got 20 out of 40. And they also evaluated it on actual enforcement. There we got 0 out of 11. So they're saying that we have laws and regulations, but there's no enforcement. And you'll see that, I mean, the Steinhoff saga, all these things, people are saying, who's in jail? So we have the laws, but nothing happens. So...
Okay. So what will happen if we do get grey-listed?
Okay, so the grey listing is what they call an increased cooperation review. They watch you now. You're on this watch list. On the grey list, Mauritius was on the grey list.
Yeah,
they
I
just
remember
recently
that.
Came out.
Yeah.
So the cost of money, lending, all that type of thing will increase. We're going to be put on a high-risk jurisdiction by the UK, Americas, whatever. So anybody that wants to do business with South Africa will think twice. So say you want to export a machine, they're going to say, well, show us this machine, because they might be worried that you're actually not buying a machine or selling a machine, it's human trafficking
arms.
Or arms or anything else. So there's just more compliance, more costs, and higher risk in doing business with South Africa.
Okay, I'm going to carry on reading here. It starts with the banks picking up suspicious transactions and transactions, reporting them, she says. But a lot of money laundering and terrorist financing is facilitated by non-financial entities like estate agents. Mm-hmm. I was surprised to hear that. Casinos, I sort of guessed. And attorneys who have been shown to be among the most vulnerable to such crimes. What are them? Why, like estate agents?
So it's cash. So that's why estate agents, accountants, it's coming, but estate agents and all these other entities, lawyers, when you go to them and you want to buy a house, they'll say to you, where did you get your money?
Yeah.
They're very worried about these cash transactions because that's an easy way to launder money.
Yeah.
So I come, I put it, I buy the house. In 2 years' time, I sell the house, and the money's been washed. It's clean money.
Yeah.
So that's why they specifically high risk.
Okay. So Olisile was also asked a question. Shouldn't a first world financial sector like South Africa have procedures to deal with risks of money laundering and terrorist financing? And her answer was, we do, but banks need to report. If they don't report, we can't fight financial crime. But we mustn't only focus on the big banks. State capture happened in small banks like VBS Mutual Bank as well. It seems like there's a very little political will to solve this.
I think it's a little too late. So from SAICA's perspective, we've actually been in discussions with the FIC since 2017 on what they're going to be changing. But I think at some stage, with everything that maybe the country was facing, there wasn't so much action on these things. Political will, I was in Parliament where the parliamentarians also said that, but why is this so urgent now? Also maybe not always understanding the whole concept of grey listing. But as you mentioned there, all these other type of entities, I think that's where the high risk is. Banks are regulated. So the banks, you go there, they want to know your whole history.
Yeah.
But it's all these other little entities that weren't in this net where the money laundering is actually happening.
So I'm going to continue with another quote here. The Department of Social Development has failed to regulate and monitor nonprofit organizations. Quote, these are things we need to be working on because NPOs are vulnerable and can be used for terrorist financing, NPOs. Okay. We've seen it in a number of cases where terrorist financiers open NPOs to fund terrorist activity.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's non-profit organizations as well.
Yes. So when the FATF evaluated us, they identified non-profits as one of the highest risks in South Africa. And secondly, things like trusts. And when we talk later on how it will impact businesses, we're actually going to look at on what they are going to change. So non-profits, again, get money, get Section 18A certificates, donations, whatever, and they are being used to for this sort of terrorist financing that they're talking about.
Sure, they're using it every which way they can.
Yes.
Okay, we're going to have to take a break now, and when we come back, we will talk about how this grey listing is going to affect you and I. And so please stay tuned because I think it's something that we just need to prepare for in our planning, in our thinking about taking our businesses forward. We'll be right back.